We'll be reading from Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to publicly disgrace her, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said for the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus.
I don't know if you know it, but 11 of the words that Daniel just read for us are some of the most important in the whole Bible. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. I wonder if you know what the word Messiah means. It's a Hebrew word. It's an ancient word. It means the anointed one, God's chosen king. So Matthew tells us this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, God's great king, came about. This is how God's great king was born. And you know what? If we had opened up Matthew's gospel to verse 1, right where he began, we would read that Matthew has just given the family tree of Jesus the Messiah. In verse 1, he says, this is the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew tells us this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Jesus the Messiah, who's descended from David, the mighty king of the Jews. Jesus the Messiah, who's descended from Abraham, the man who received God's promise to be a blessing to the whole world. And if we read on, line after line after line, we see fathers and sons and fathers and sons tracing their line from Abraham down to David, down to the time when God's people were taken away from their land and then back again. And all of this is looking for the great king who will bring blessing to the whole world. It's like this anticipation is just building and building and building. And then Matthew says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, God's mighty king, came about. But I wonder if you thought that what Daniel just read for us was a little bit anticlimactic. There was no trumpet fanfare, there was no red carpet treatment, there were no TV interviews, they didn't even have social media to let people know about it. I think we might think it was all very anticlimactic. Except that's not actually what Matthew's pointing out to us. That's kind of more Luke's emphasis when he tells us about Jesus' birth. He wants us to see how humble it was, how lowly it was in a manger with shepherds visiting. But Matthew wants us to see something very different. Matthew actually wants us to see that this is very dramatic. This is the great climax. Jesus is the one it's all been waiting for, because Matthew's been tracing the line of the Messiah. He started with Abraham and then to David and then to God's people taken in exile, and it was fathers having their sons, and then something totally different has happened. Because this isn't just another son descended from another father. This King Jesus is totally different to any other king, because this is God the Son come to us. See, Mary and Joseph, they weren't married yet, and yet Mary is pregnant. And you can imagine how that might have been for Joseph. It's pretty confusing, and he's probably got heaps of questions going on. Like, what's going on? How is this all going to work out? What do we do to make sense of this? Can I trust Mary anymore? But an angel comes and says, "Don't be afraid, Joseph." Pretty clear indication. The guy was freaking out. Understandable, right? "Don't be afraid, Joseph, because the baby growing in Mary is from the Holy Spirit." And Matthew couldn't be clearer. He's not telling us about an anticlimactic moment that just happened quietly. He's saying this is the big moment. He's recorded line after line of all of these guys. If we read back, we'd read about Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah. We could go on for quite a long time, but that's not so much fun on Christmas morning. But the point is that Matthew is making from all of these, we know these names from the pages of the Old Testament. We know that these are the old kings of Israel. Some of them were great men, some of them terrible, horrible, evil men. But line after line, Matthew has recorded the family tree from Abraham down to David, down to Joseph, the son of Jacob, the husband of Mary. And then it's so different. This is when Matthew flicks on the spotlight. He lights the fuse on the fireworks so that we know that this is the great climax, because this child Jesus has come from God in a totally unique way. "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about," said Matthew. Some of the most important words in the Bible. Now, Matthew wasn't interested in the shepherds and the mangers. That all was there, but Matthew wants to tell us that this baby is unlike anyone else. This baby is kind of amazingly, wonderfully, incredibly God with us. Now, I've been racking my brains, and maybe the kids can help us out, and this might even be something that you're going to chat about over lunch, because I've been trying to think if there's a movie or a story that does this for us. Can you think of a movie or a story plot line that kind of builds up with this sense of expectation? Oh, and then something happens and you're just like, oh, really? That was a bit anticlimactic. But then suddenly you realize, as the pieces start to come together, wow. Like in an unexpected way, this is actually what we were waiting for, and it's even better than what we expected. To be honest, it's a terrible pastor's illustration because I haven't been able to think of the story, but maybe you can. We're waiting and we're waiting to see how God is going to fulfill his promise to Abraham, that his family would bring blessing to the whole world. We're waiting and waiting to see how God is going to fulfill his promise to David, that one of his descendants would be God's mighty king who ruled forever in justice and peace. We're waiting and waiting. And Matthew tells us, wow, hang on. Did he just say what I think he just said? Because he just said that this child is completely unique in all of human history. This baby is from the Holy Spirit. There have been lots of very special babies. Every baby's special. But this is God coming to us. And then we're like, hang on, wow, if I think about this a little bit longer, this is surely the biggest affirmation for every child who has ever been adopted, right? Because do you realize that the only way that Jesus actually connects in with this family tree, he's descended from David, is because Joseph adopted him. God sends his son into the world and he gets Joseph, descended from David, to adopt him. Jesus, the Messiah, inherits his family tree by virtue of adoption. How cool is that? And then we're like, wow, again, because the angel has told Joseph that he's got to name this child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And we might get used to reading that. We kind of go, oh, yeah, well, that's what he came to do. But this isn't this little baby just kind of going to do something cool to save us from some hard things in life. Saving people from their sins is something that only God can do. So, like, double wow, it's looking a lot like this little guy is somehow God with us. And then, of course, we're like, wow, like, that's exactly what Matthew points out, that this is what God said would happen 600 years before. He quotes from the prophet Isaiah, they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we might be surprised, but God's not. It was all planned out by him. Joseph probably thought it was a terrible mess, but none of it was an accident. This was all planned by God as the great climactic moment in all of human history. It's the amazing moment when the Creator would step into the creation. When the infinite, eternal God who lives outside of time and space, he came to a particular address, weighed somewhere around 3 kilograms, and had a birthday. This is the wonderful moment of Christmas. God's great King has come to us. And that is glorious. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to sing about that. Angels singing glory. But just to keep us on our toes, you'll be like, hang on, I don't think Daniel read anything about angels singing glory. Now we're going to take a leaf out of Luke's story to sing this fun song. Not in Matthew's account, but in Luke's account, that actually this was such great news that God sent a whole choir to announce that his beautiful boy had come. So let's get on our feet and sing too of angels singing glory. Thank you, Simon and Bron and Heidi. Heidi's left hand works pretty hard in that song. Please take a seat. We're about to read a little bit more from Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, and Amelia is going to come and read that for us. So come on up, Amelia. But there are some things here that we can very easily just kind of read on over and not really take much notice. And I am not going to allow that to happen, because we need to see that this is all about what it means that Jesus is God's great King. To help us with that, I have this trumpet. I have this trumpet that I used to know how to play quite well, and now it just makes a lot of noise. So you might like to think of it as one of those royal trumpet blasts announcing the coming of the king. You would have to use your imagination because it won't sound much like that. It could just be a really annoying sound to get your attention. I have given Amelia warning because this would be very distracting trying to read the Bible, because what's going to happen is that we're going to see just how much Matthew wants us to know the importance of a king coming, okay? So, Amelia, thank you. You're going to read from Matthew chapter 2. I've got to pay much attention here to make sure that we don't miss any of the kings being announced.
Paul will get it for us. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the King Herod, Magi...
King Herod. Nearly missed it. Yep.
Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" "We saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him." When the king Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Oh, well done, Amelia. Well done. With all of that distraction, good job pushing on through that with a trumpet in your left ear. But what is the point of all of that noise? Now, Caleb's going to help us here, because we're going to see what the story was going on for us here, because it was actually about a king who was already sitting on a throne. His name was Herod, and with thanks to some friends at Saddleback Kids for the pictures that we've got, this is their picture of Herod. Herod was a king who liked to sit on his kingly throne. He liked building kingly stuff. He did lots of that. He liked doing all sorts of kingly things, both some things kind and lots of things mean, and he didn't like the idea of another king. So on the next picture, we meet these three magi, three wise men. Not three kings, despite the carol that we are just about to sing. We're not told that they were kings. We're told that they were wise men. And in their wisdom, they have recognized something about Jesus. Did you notice what they noticed? Where has been born the one who is to be king of the Jews? Well, they travelled. Next slide, thanks, Caleb. Somehow God made clear to them that the star that they had noticed in the sky indicated that the king of the Jews had been born and they have come to worship him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that somehow they're clever enough to know that this was God and they came to worship him as God. It's a word that can just mean that they came to pay their respects to him as the king. But at least they were glad to acknowledge him as the king, right? Because they come to Herod, next picture, and it's pretty clear that he is not happy about this. Another king? Not if he can help it. Because Herod doesn't want another king. He doesn't want Jesus to be king. So then, as we can see on screen, he gathers together a bunch of people who know the Bible really, really well. And he asks if there are any clues about where this king will be born. And they point out that the best clue is that the prophet Micah had talked about a great ruler coming from Bethlehem. And that kind of makes sense. Because when they stop and think about that and they know their Bible really well, that is the town where King David came from and God's great king was going to come from David's family, so it fits. But in the midst of that, Micah had said that this would be a very good king, a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Such a beautiful picture of what God's great king would do, care for his people like a shepherd cares for a flock of sheep. Not really how many people would have described King Herod. It should have meant that anyone who wants the good of God's people would be very excited that God's great king has come. But not Herod. Thanks, Caleb. Herod doesn't let on a whole lot at this point. In what he says to the wise man, it sort of sounds like he's vaguely interested in coming and meeting this king as well. But if we read on, we can see that Herod does not want this new king to take his place. Herod wants to be king. So he wants the wise man to tell him where he can find Jesus so that he can worship him. But as we read on, Herod doesn't want to put Jesus on the throne. He wants to get rid of him. Thanks, Caleb. So what is the point of all of the noise about kings? Well, I think it's because every time Matthew tells us about these very different kings, he's got a great big question for each one of us. Herod sat on the throne and he didn't want to give it to anyone. Do you want Jesus to be the king, though? Friends, that's the question that Christmas poses us. Whether we are young or old, this is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Do you want Jesus to be the king? Because he is. Jesus is God's great king, which means he is the king of the whole world. He's a good king, but he is the king, which means he gets to be in charge, which means that we are not actually in charge. And I wonder how you feel about that. Because Matthew's point is that Herod hated the idea. And as we know through history, so have many, many other people. But whether or not we like the idea doesn't actually change the fact that he is king. Now, for now, it might feel quite easy to dismiss this big claim about Jesus. Maybe we think he's a cute story from a long ago or an interesting teacher who did some interesting things. But we need to dig a little deeper and we will meet a man unlike any other, a king unlike any other, with the power and glory unlike any other, who brings grace and kindness and love and peace, unlike any other. And this is the question that Christmas is really all about. Will he be your king? To help us ponder that question further, we've got another great song. It is about these three wise men. As I mentioned, the song calls them three kings. We'll sing it anyway, even though Matthew points out that these are wise men who came to see the one who is the king. Now, either way, what those wise men got right is to see that Jesus is not someone to try and get rid of, but someone to meet, someone to worship. So we're going to join with them in reflecting on that. Let's stand and sing, We Three Kings.